Stockholm is a state of minds. We talking about the culture, so come and feel the vibe. You gon' have a good time. We helping you to see it. So much to do when living in Stockholm, Sweden. Yeah, yeah, let's go. Stockholm is a state of minds. Hey, Stockholm is a state of minds. Yeah, we break it down like this and like that. Welcome to the podcast. Stockholm is where it's at. Let's go.
Welcome to Stockholm is a State of Minds, the only podcast you need to become Swedish. I'm Maria Fogelström.
I'm Philip Rohr, and we are the hosts of this podcast created for international people who have moved to Sweden so they can learn more about their new home country and to make them feel more welcomed here.
Sweden is famous for its music industry with a number of globally famous artists and producers like Avicii, Max Martin, ABBA, Roxette, Ace of Base, Miriam Bryant, and many more. Something maybe less known internationally is Sweden's rich hip-hop culture, which includes rap, music, DJing, graffiti, and breakdance. The Swedish hip-hop scene has grown quickly and is today one of the most popular music styles in Sweden, with a number of successful artists. We are curious to learn more about Swedish hip-hop, so we have invited Amethyst Azordegan, who is a real expert on this subject. Welcome, Amethyst.
Thank you very much. Exciting. Happy to be here.
Yeah, we are so excited to have you here in our studio. So please introduce yourself a bit to the audience. Who are you?
Yeah, so I'm a journalist to start with. I went to the School of Journalism here in Stockholm called JMK.
Yeah.
And I was, before that, I was actually working at Sveriges Television. Which is the public service national TV station, and did a lot of music shows, music documentaries, talk shows about music, and I was like production assistant and researcher mostly. And after that, I went to School of Journalism and studied journalism because I wanted to get better at what I do. I wanted to be a music journalist since I was about 9 or 10.
So actually you worked with it before you educated yourself?
Yes, I worked with it before I educated myself. Right. And I educated myself just to get ahead career-wise and also to just be better. So and to be a great music journalist, I thought, what do I need to know? Yes, I need to know more about the world. So I also studied a lot of sociology. Just to, because I'm feeling like to be a culture journalist, a music journalist is... It's not only about the music. It's rarely about the beats and the production. So you don't. You rarely write about that. Mostly write about things like identity building through lyrics, what different genres mean for different type of people, groups of people, and so that's why. And then I continued working at Sveriges Radio, which is a national radio station here in Sweden, and I worked there about 8 years. I did morning shows every morning. Got up at 3:30.
I would never do that
because I had to be at work after the 4:20, because we started airing at 6 o'clock, and you had to write your scripts before that. Every morning, you had to go through the news, what happened during the night in the world, and write your scripts, and also try to be funny about it. Because morning shows are a lot about like being funny and entertaining, because people don't want to hear anyone grumpy.
You need to wake them up.
Yes, and during that time, I was also hosting an afternoon show, which was called Kärleksattacken, and Kärleksattack på svensk hip-hop, which is translated to a love attack on Swedish hip-hop.
Right.
And it was the biggest radio show yet. It is the biggest radio show yet in Sweden about the Swedish hip-hop genre. So yeah, I hosted, and I was also the creative producer of that.
Was the show more about the beats? Or was it also more cultural, sociological?
That was the great thing, because when I started to do the show, one of the reactions of the hip hop scene in Sweden, which is very male, it's a male, very male dominated type of genre, was, who is this girl wanting to talk about our masculine type of macho genre? But what happened was that my show, got to be that big because I was a woman and I was asking different type of questions.
Yeah.
I would ask them more about their who they are, their faith in life, and you know, the more like personal questions also to these rappers who were mostly interested in coming in and being macho and super cool, maybe, you know? So it was a what
kind
I was
soft sides, yes, soft side of it.
What I was most questioned about turned out to be what made the show so big, and it like kind of like opened up a hip hop show for more people to be interested in, because it wasn't only about the beats and the lyrics and the rhymes. It was about
the
life,
people.
Yes, and the people. So, and I did that, and I wrote parallel to doing my radio show. I will have been a column. I'm like, because it was really during about during like 10 years of my life. I was doing the morning show. I was doing Sweden's biggest hip hop radio show, and I was also a columnist. Every 3 weeks, I wrote a column, a cultural column in Göteborgs Posten, which is a big newspaper in Sweden. And I also was reviewing music and concerts, and also I was writing political commentary type of columns in Expressen and Aftonbladet, which are the two big main magazines also here in Sweden. Mm-hmm. And so I was doing that as well, being upset about things.
Young and angry.
Yes, about politics and culture and stuff and like that. So I was doing a lot. Also, I was DJing, and also I was, I don't know. So, yeah.
How many hours?
I
love
working. You know that, you know, Facebook reminds you 10 years ago today. This is your post. And I was my posts are only about been working for 14 hours. Yay! And I was so happy about it. So and then after that, now I am not actively a music journalist anymore. I am a hip hop expert here in Sweden. There is not many of us.
No, I only found one.
You found me? Yes,
you're here.
It's me. And also, but now I am a social entrepreneur.
Yes.
I've worked with young people in socially disadvantaged areas in Sweden, and creating life chances for them by working with creativity.
Really good.
Yes.
Good project.
So I want to ask a really foundational question, because partly because my background is in communication and I always want to define terms. Okay, so we're going to talk about hip hop.
Okay.
You've talked about rap. Maria mentioned DJing. She mentioned graffiti, breakdancing. Can you give us, I don't want you to give me a definition, but what are the ingredients that you would say sort of goes into hip hop? What do we include? Is there anything we don't include? Just so we sort of...
That's a great question.
I need to understand. What do we include?
This question needs to be asked more often. I would say it's a culture, it's a genre that is very high in authenticity when it comes to stories being told.
Yeah.
And you really don't find that in pop music or in many other genres. You being American, you can compare it a lot to country music.
I was going to ask sort of the storytelling.
So yeah, exactly. Because country music has also, in ways documenting day-to-day life. A lot of country songs are like, I woke up this morning and I looked outside and then, you know.
Drove my truck down the dirt road. And
so in that way, exactly, the hip hop has, in the same way, is high in authentic type of authentic storytelling.
Yeah.
So that's for one.
Yeah.
And the second of all, I would say I identify hip hop as being a genre where young people all around the world and in Sweden document their dreams, problems, and how they see their life chances and what they see in their in the areas around them.
Yeah.
So I usually say you could put together a book by choosing like 10 Swedish or American or whatever, Iranian or Turkish or French rap lyrics, 10 for each year for the last 50 years, and put them together And by reading that, you would have a chunk of what Sweden in different times, it's like capsules, what is going on in Sweden and how young people look at it. So it's very valuable in that way. So yeah, authenticity.
It's like a documentation of our time.
Yes. So authenticity, high, a lot of authenticity, also documentation of right now.
Mostly from a youth perspective.
Only from a youth perspective. Yeah. It's the youngins genre. Yeah.
I think that you, not very often you hear about the hip hop culture in Sweden. If you're not at the inside, if you're not a hip hop person yourself, why do you think?
So, because Sweden is more than the surrounding countries of Sweden or many countries in Europe have a history of moral panic. Sweden is a country that is more than Norway, Denmark, Finland, Scandinavian countries. More than the UK or France, often being scared of movements, especially movements coming to movements that are about youth culture in different ways, or and especially when it comes to movements that are youth culture and entertainment industry, popular culture. It's been. I have actually a lecture where I lecture about the history of moral panic in Sweden from the 1940s until today, which is funny because I'm Iranian. I'm not even from here. And so I'm invited to lecture about this for Swedish people that were born here. So it's so interesting. So, yeah, I would say, what was your question?
It was why we don't.
Yeah.
Why people don't know anything about hip hop culture? Is it also Sweden, I think Stockholm very much so, is a segregated city and country. Is that also linked to
that? Everything is linked. So it's a kind of a nervous type of country. I'm sorry to sit here and be so sounding negative. I am really not a negative person. These are my takes while studying the status of hip hop in Sweden. So it's about hip hop has been kind of like treated like somebody else's child in Sweden, like kind of a, you know, it's like Sweden is the, it's somebody else's child. It's there. You don't really love it and you're not really interested in knowing it. So if I say hip hop is in the world is a multi-billion industry,
yes,
and in other countries it's used in academia for research and science, and it's used for it's so many powers. In Sweden it's really not,
as far as I know. Hip-hop is not a subject that you can study at a university level in Stockholm. I found a small course in Göteborg, but nothing here. Do you think that's the reason why there is hardly any research done on hip-hop at Swedish universities? What do you think that research could mean for the hip-hop culture?
Yes, so, I mean, hip-hop has been used in other countries as a tool for education in classes. It's used in the U.S. I cannot name drop the schools right now, but I've been studying it. It's in the U.S. it's used in math classes because rhyme is mathematic. So it's been used like that sometimes. But also in academia, hip hop studies in other countries are multidisciplinary field of studies, which that encompass sociology, anthropology, communication, rhetoric studies, cultural studies, critical race theory. We don't even have critical race theory really in Sweden yet, and art history, and so on, and also gender studies. But in Sweden, we don't really see that yet. I think it's going to change, but I think I would say this is just a theory, is because we don't have the boardrooms in Sweden and the gatekeepers are still, it's not everyone are represented there.
That's absolutely
so
true.
So I would say the frame of references, cultural frame of references that are represented in boardrooms in Sweden are probably, I would say maybe, quite narrow yet. Mm. And I think it's going to change in time. What has been lost here is how you actually can use hip hop within the academia, because it is the biggest music genre in the world, and it also is the world's biggest youth culture.
Wow.
Well, I can imagine if how you're defining hip hop is so much of documentation, both of current life, dreams, how youth is viewing the world, it would be a treasure trove to research to understand contemporary culture. So
I
mean, it seems, and I think in that though, sort of, how do you see, is there a specific sort of flavor of Swedish hip hop? Not simply, I think we were looking around and most, if not all Swedish hip hop's in Swedish. So other than the language, is there sort of a particular flavor or expression of Swedish hip hop, or is it?
Again, a great question. So it's, we've had periods, during the Swedish hip hop history that were very specific Swedish type of styles have been born. So we have one during the late 90s, early 2000s, where we had this quite Swedish type of rap lyrics, lyric writing and rap type of style. That in itself was inspired by Britcore, which is a type of how do you explain that? It's like kind of a like metal punk type of death metal type of with rap type of music.
Huh. Yeah, okay,
So it was influenced by that a lot, and it brought with it lyrics that were very dense in words, like every rap song was containing a lot of words and a lot of like tight packed rhymes. Mm. And the theme of the songs would be like, could be quite scary. Like it was like watching a thriller movie sometimes. And there were fiction, a lot of fictional stuff, but that would, I would say was quite Swedish. Mm. But also I must say, There is a Swedish cultural history of poetry, writing poetry, and being, there is a type of like writing poetry and rap lyrics in a suggestive way, suggestive lyrics that is also for me very Swedish and very beautiful. You have one rapper called Organismen or Organism 12, who was his name before, and he changed it to organ, like the organism.
Yeah.
So, and his lyrics are one of the most beautiful poetries you have ever read, and I would suggest that you quite like read them and maybe translate them, and that would be an answer to your question as well. What is very Swedish?
Yeah.
I also wonder. That's a tradition since I've been. Yeah, I'm a musicologist. I've been studying music, and a theme that is often coming back in Swedish music since hundreds of years is this kind of Swedish melancholy.
Exactly.
Can you find that in rap music too?
That's exactly the rapper I spoke about, Organismen. It's melancholy. And
this nature, maybe because in Swedish poetry and music, nature is always very present. So maybe it also influenced these.
Yes, they also, I did a show where I was doing radio about, I did like 2 hours about beats, hip hop beats being produced in the north of Sweden. Mm-hmm. My question was, am I hearing this right? I feel like these productions are mirroring the nature, you know. Well, it's
not amazing
because, you know, the Stockholm is a lot of houses and it's kind of dense and traffic, a lot of traffic. Mm. And I feel like the beats may be like that as well. Like it's been like a bit more high tempo, a bit more dense type of productions, while the beats coming from the far north in Sweden were slower and airy.
Wow.
There were places to breathe within the productions. So in that way, hip hop is also very beautiful because it mirrors its surroundings. You can compare what I'm saying to in the American hip hop, which are the founders of hip hop, where you have East Coast and West Coast hip hop. Whereas in the, you're American, you can, probably what I mean. The East Coast is dense, kind of like leaning forward, energetic type of hip hop beat. But also the surroundings are like that. You have like New York and the West Coast.
It's
how would you describe the West Coast?
Low key, slow.
Laid back.
Exactly.
And a bit more air. And the music productions are the same.
I think it's so interesting to hear that at all hip hop music is produced in northern Sweden. For me, I have probably many prejudices that something you do in the suburbs, but I think that's amazing. That is an expression that is used everywhere. So actually, you can hear probably where is this music composed in Sweden.
I would.
Yeah,
I would.
That's amazing.
But I mean,
you're probably the only one.
But not in every production, because a lot of it's like especially younger people. Produce more and more generic type of sounds and beats because they are more thinking about what works on the top lists of the streaming services and stuff. But in general, yes, I would probably hear the different sounds. Yes,
I think I have one question. Since almost in all countries or in many countries, hip hop music is the lyrics are in English, but in Sweden it's Swedish. Do you think that's Sweden has a very multicultural population, like 20% of our inhabitants have international backgrounds. Do you think that's a reason why you choose Swedish as a first language?
Because English doesn't work really here in rap music, because we have had many Swedish lyricists and rappers trying to rap in English, and because they wanted to try to make it overseas, and nobody has made it work. It doesn't stick when it's in Swedish. They perceive it more like this is about us.
Yeah.
This is about us, and it came like a bit closer to the listener.
Mm.
And I think the same theory can be applied to when you try to make it with hip hop music in Sweden, but when they have rapped in English, it doesn't stick.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I find it quite interesting, sort of the human pursuit of, they're all very entwined, but goodness, truth, and beauty. And I think you talking a bit about sort of the self-expression being a key part of hip hop. I think something I'm curious about is people have individual goals, but what makes hip hop good? Is it I'm sure there's
the big question.
Is it sort of what are the ingredients? I don't know why I keep talking about ingredients, but
go on.
Sort of, is it okay? I've expressed myself. So this is good hip hop. Of course it comes down to the technicality of it lyrically, but then is there also the sort of a social impact component that people are striving for, that what I write, I want to impact others, or is it mostly self-expression?
It depends on which period in time you're talking about. Swedish hip hop has had periods of being politically commentary type of music, and then periods of not wanting to deal with it at all.
Yeah.
So you have the time when I was doing my radio show it started about 2011 and it continued, wait a minute, maybe like 2009 and it continued until 2013. Those three or four years we had all the hits were political commentaries.
Okay.
All of them. Mm. And then after that came trap music and cloud music and cloud rap, which are subgenres of hip hop music, and those genres didn't want to deal with it at all. They were like fed up with trying to make a change in society. They didn't want to deal with it at all. They were more interested in drugs and clubs and a bit of a like maybe like strip clubs and stuff like that. So it was a huge shift for me doing radio. I couldn't understand what was happening, and it kind of was like the ones doing political commentary type of rap, which is a type of hip hop music, which is in the core, in the kind of like a stomach of hip hop. If it was a body, to be political commentary is part of its DNA. It was like they were like kind of burned out because they were doing that, and nothing happened the way they wanted society to shift, and it didn't happen. And they kind of like gave up. And after that came trap.
Okay.
And trap only wanted to relax.
Right. And have fun. I recognize that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've often looked at hip hop as a person that goes through cycles and experiences, which makes it wanna like shift its focus depending on what it has energy for. Mm-hmm. And what it needs. And the body of hip hop goes hand in hand with the body and development of socially, economically disadvantaged areas in Sweden and what those young people are experiencing. Mm. The music shifts in like in colors, attitude, at the same time as these areas and these young people in these areas shift their attitudes. They go hand in hand. Mm. And that's why it's been an interesting genre for me.
I understand I was a bit curious because I've heard that what's significant for Swedish hip hop is that it's very including. Do you agree with that? And if so, what does that mean?
depends on what you mean with including. It's not
like a family for people living in hip hop culture.
I'm sorry, I don't think so.
No.
I'm so sorry if ever a hip hop head is listening to this and may think, what is she doing to us? No, I don't think so. I think it's not including for women. Mm. It's not been for me. I'm a hip hop expert despite of the non-inviting hip hop culture because it's very macho.
Because you took the placer.
I had to fought my way in and kind of like try to cling on and stay there, not having them like kick me out because I'm a woman. Seriously.
But there are some female rap artists, but not many.
Yeah, there are some, and they're very good, and they come and go, and not many of them stay for longer periods of time, unfortunately, because I think it's hard, as I said. But I think it's also, but from my point of view, it's been a very special point of view. It's one thing to be a female rap artist in Sweden, but to come in and be a hip hop expert and being female, it's been kind of like provoking to many, to the culture from many aspects. I've had a lot of handshakes and love and applause as well, but it's been both.
Yeah,
I would say it's not including for all political views because it stems from an outsider's perspective, outside and from down under.
And there you should stay because if not, you're not part of the hip-hop culture because that's what it is.
It gets provoked by like far-right type of political views, of course. Mm. In that way, it can also be compared to the punk movement or the reggae movement, the reggae genre. Yes, it gets provoked. Mm. So it's not including of every political view. It likes to make money, so in that way, it's a capitalist. But it's not including for every political view instead. Mm. And I would say,
This isn't Sweden, and this is a rabbit show we're not going to go down. But that's why someone like Kanye is such a fascinating figure within the hip hop scene, and. But he's Kanye, so...
I would say fascinating with a really bad taste in my mouth about him. Exactly.
So then you talk a little bit about sort of hip hop being more political 2010, 2011 for a few years, and then trap comes. So we're in 2024 now. If we were to sort of listen to Swedish hip hop, what sort of categories would you break it down into now in terms of what we would learn about sort of the youth experience and their hopes and dreams and their commentary on the world?
Right now, this second we're talking and doing this interview, I would, unfortunately, the Swedish hip hop, when it comes to what is overground and not underground, is we're kind of in a place where it's standing a bit still. When it comes to the overground, it's standing still. It's not really clear where it's headed. And that's the difference to when I was doing radio and we had this political commentary wave and this switch to the I don't care anything about, I just want to have fun type of trap and cloud rap that came in. That was like there was overlap between those two. I really didn't have time to understand when it happened. This time it's not like that. We've had this so-called, by the media form was called, the gangster rap movement that they've been dominating the top lists for about five, six years now. And it created a lot of moral panic, a lot of issues, a lot of discussions. And then it's been quiet, kind of like standing still, and nothing new is being really born. So I've never experienced this in Swedish hip hop history, which I've studied for so long.
Why do you think is that?
I think because it's a combination of it's been a while, because you know, before this gangster rap movement we had trap. Okay, so that means it's been a while. It's been about maybe like 10 years since the way writing rap lyrics and making hip hop music to go with it was made for the sake of creating music. And those who were involved with it were there foremost because they were creatives and wanted to create music. They were foremost musicians and performers and entertainers. And it's been a while. For 10 years, we've been kind of like letting the top list decide, and that had been going on hand in hand with the situations in social disadvantaged areas in Sweden getting worse.
Yeah,
poor people are poorer. The results in school are worse, as worse than for young people. So we have more young people using, more than ever, using writing rap lyrics and making hip hop music to get away from these areas, which means you don't take chances in being musician and creating art through music, because there's a risk in that. You make hip hop music more than ever to make money, to get away from these areas, to make a living. So what happens? You look at what works the best on the top list.
Right.
And I've been seeing a kind of a paint by numbers type of music making in rap music.
Okay.
The last years, you know? You remember paint by numbers when we were small?
Yeah.
Like, to paint a picture, there were like a big picture and there were like numbers, there were outlines of this scene. And there were pictures in different areas. If you paint a little bit green there, yellow there, and then red there, and then you had this picture. You paint by numbers, like by through a kind of So that's what's been happening right now. So, and it's been a while since. And those people who were around making this political commentary music, or just making. For about 15 years ago, more young people active in hip hop music were there to they wanted to impress you by their lyrics and music and beat making and rhymes and funny ways of telling stories. They are older now. Most of them, a lot of them, have kids and family, and they're not active like that anymore, which I understand. But it means that there's a gap.
It's a gap of generations, maybe.
Exactly, and they are not there to teach and inspire what it could be.
Mm-hmm. Has hip hop, in that generational change, has hip hop grown substantially in popularity in Sweden? I'm just thinking, was it that the earlier generation, maybe there weren't a lot of riches to be made within hip hop in Sweden, and now there are, and so it is more of color this. I sort of hit the formula so that I can get out of these areas. And maybe was it that hip hop wasn't a key to unlock the door to get out of the hard situation?
It's always been. Hip hop has always been a way to get out and get away and make money and to try to make a life for yourself. And a lot of times, because other ways to do it didn't feel as easy, or maybe it wasn't available. Oh. I've done about more than 2,000 interviews with the pioneers of Swedish hip hop from the late 70s and during the 80s and start of the 90s, them telling me about their first experiences with what hip hop meant to them. Mm-hmm. So they tell me that when hip hop came, it became the first and only arena where young Afro-Swedes felt superior towards the white kids. Because it was very important for the sense of building an identity and then that and the identity being something of superior mode. When they were in control, everything looked cool around them. It sounded cool around them. They got all the girls suddenly because when hip hop came, the young Afro-Swedes. So that may also quite maybe answer your question. I think, yeah.
A connection or a connecting question would be, so I grew up playing basketball where I was.
Have you seen the movie White Men Can't Jump?
Yes. No.
You
but
have to see it.
I am.
It's a 90s movie.
If you can see me, I am very white and I can jump very high. So.
That's good for
it's
you.
It's not just. Anyway, so I grew up playing basketball, was always a minority. And sort of something I think is quite interesting is I studied in Stockholm just over a decade ago. And something I've seen in 10 years, and I just found the statistics to prove it, is in 2013, saw no youngsters carrying basketballs around Stockholm. Now, I see it all the time. And I found the statistics, and basketball is now the second most popular sport in Sweden between ages of 15 and 24. To football.
It's made a comeback.
And you can't talk about basketball in the US and the NBA without talking about hip hop. They're married. And so I'm really interested to hear, is there some correlation between the Swedish hip hop scene, basketball here, the growth of basketball here with the growth of hip hop?
I would say Sweden has lost its connection to black culture.
Hmm.
Okay, so
basketball or hip hop?
Basketball have lost its identity of being truly connected to hip hop culture and hence black culture.
Yeah.
We've lost it. I hope it will come back because if it would reconnect to it, it would be a way to engage and make difference in socially disadvantaged areas in Sweden, where you have mostly I live in Rågsved, there are 70% people with other ethnic background than Nordic.
Yep.
So it would then basketball could be used as a way to engage and create activities. And through that, you could do a lot of things, introduce educational programs, and stuff like that. And this is also a way, why I'm saying that hip hop could be used more in Sweden than it is. I'm the founder and chairman of Jew Studios Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of projects that together form a solution, as we see it, for creating life chances for young people in socially disadvantaged areas, where the absolutely biggest, the large majority are from other ethnic background than Nordic. So, and what I can tell you is that all our projects are based in hip hop knowledge, because and it just became that way because I come from studying hip hop and understanding through that a lot of things about how my target group, which are these young people, how they see the world, how they talk about the problems in for them to get ahead and move on, and also they're learning about their attitudes and hence like reverse engineering it and creating communication skills for outreach and creating engagement. And so and we are very successful in working with young people through our foundation, which is a nonprofit organization. And everything that we do is based on understanding hip hop first.
That's so interesting. I really don't know what to say because I'm just listening and so fascinated. And a bit angry too that society is not picking up this, because it's a big problem in Sweden today with all these with the segregation and the difficult situation for many people, that they don't look where they have the answers already.
Yeah, because in the lyrics that, as I said in the beginning of this conversation, that it's very authentic type of lyrics, and they're documenting what they're seeing and experiencing, where they stand, and where they live. So it's a great way of learning,
of course,
about them. And finding the keys for outreach and creating engagement, but you know what you're saying is, when you say you're angry, it doesn't happen more often. It's all about, because the starting point has to be curiosity and not being scared. The starting point has to be curiosity. So I'm very happy talking about this in this podcast, because I'm thinking most people that are listening are academics. And they know all about research, which is all about being curious first and not being afraid. And so I'm thinking maybe more research and science and more academics could be interested in finding a way through hip hop culture and asking questions through it with hip hop as a tool.
I think it's a really good idea. Really good. I think that might maybe we have soon come to an end of this episode, but we would like to ask you, like, our audience is newcomers, and if you newly have come to Sweden and want to learn more about Swedish hip hop, which are your best tips?
Oh, I would say come to one of my lectures, probably where I lecture about Swedish hip hop history, maybe that. Where do you start?
Maybe just to listen to something?
I would say you would listen to the lyrics and have someone explain, have someone translate it for you maybe, because they're in Swedish, the best of them.
Are there any special lists on Spotify or
I would say, why not listen to, there is a rapper called Timbuktu, whose name is Jason Diakite.
Famous?
Very famous. He's a grown man now, which is, I think it might be good, because he has very interesting analysis in many of his lyrics. I would say, I really don't know him. This is not for me a way to make like PR for his book. But he's written a book which is translated in English.
Okay.
Which is in Sweden called En droppe midnatt in English. I think he translated the title to A Drop of Midnight.
Okay.
And that is the story about him. He's one of our biggest rappers, but also the story about how he sees Sweden through. And I would say, it's not his word, it's my interpretation, that he looks at things through the lens of hip-hop culture. So I would say read that book and listen to his lyrics, maybe. Timbuktu, yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been wonderful to get to know you and hear your story and your wealth of knowledge when it comes to
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, Maria, we learned a lot today.
But what
has stood out to you?
Well, I don't think I really have understood how much the rap texts are really mirroring today's society. I think that's so interesting. I'm normally quite bad at listening to text, because I listen to the lyrics, but I definitely will go home and listen to some text and compare them from older rap music until today. And yeah.
Yeah, I think that's similar for me, as sort of even hearing that there was a period just after 2010 where it was more political. Mm-hmm. And then it was sort of a period of we've had enough. And then now it's sort of standstill. So yeah. It'll also be interesting to track sort of what happens next.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I think when you know more about something, you see it and you hear it in a new way. So I think we both will maybe listen a bit more to rap music now.
Yes.
Swedish. Okay.
This podcast is presented by Stockholm's Akademiska Forum.
Hey, Stockholm is a state of mind. Yeah, we break it down like this and like that.